What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, August 14th. You know, we are getting closer and closer to football season, the best time of the year. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer. This morning, while I was having my breakfast, actually, this morning I had Starbucks. Some of you are fans of Starbucks. Some of you may hate Starbucks. Hopefully, nowadays, saying I had Starbucks isn't political. Who knows? People have opinions on certain places. I wanted a latte this morning, a sugar-free vanilla latte. So I had a sugar-free vanilla latte because I wanted it. I had a croissant, like a seeded croissant. Never was a big fan of seeds on croissants, but I don't know, I've kind of grown into it. It's a little better than a butter croissant. However, when I think of croissants, I start thinking about the great croissants they had in Barcelona, and I'm sure they've got some amazing ones in Paris. Might just be worth taking a trip to Paris for the croissants. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I was having my sugar-free vanilla latte with a croissant, and I was watching Mike McDaniel speak from Dolphins camp. And when I was watching him speak, when I'm listening to him, the entire time, after at least like the first minute, I'm like, this is boring. He wasn't really saying a whole lot. The questions are whatever. But we've hit that point where it's August 14th. We're a few weeks away from the start of the regular season, games that count. There's a joint practice tomorrow. It's like, okay, I mean, what is there to say? What is there to really know? I've said many times you want your team's camp to be boring. Even with a boring camp, you could still have some personality in a news conference. But this morning, and maybe some of the others, I haven't watched every single one of them. But this morning I was watching Mike McDaniel and I just kind of wanted to go back to sleep. I was getting ready for the show. I'm preparing notes. The reason I listen to him is in case he says anything that's interesting that I want to bring up here this hour. And there wasn't really a whole lot that he said, at least today, that was interesting. But it is Commanders week. Fired up about that. The Dolphins will host the Washington Commanders Saturday night. Hard Rock Stadium. Saturday will be the last fake football game at Hard Rock Stadium this year. Now, tomorrow, the Dolphins and Commanders will have a joint practice. Then the Dolphins will have their game Saturday night, and they will not be on that field for a game until the opener against Jacksonville. And then the Bills, just a few days later. You want to talk about a huge first week. Gosh, do they ever need two wins. Every team in the league wants to start out with two wins. But when you're starting with two games at home, and the second one is just a few days after the first one, and it's against a divisional opponent, one that's supposed to be on top of the division right there with Miami, you better get that W. I'll get into the Dolphins in a little bit because why not? The Miami Hurricanes, they're less than 3 weeks away from the start of the college football season. 17 days to be exact. The Canes will be at the Swamp. It'll be the Hurricanes and the Gators. And that's a heck of a way to open up the season. Fans should be excited. The Canes look like they're going to be really good. In fact, I don't think I've done this for a while. Let me open up the Hard Rock app. That's not what I haven't done for a while. I do that all the time. Now, I'm here in Medellin right now, so I can't place any wagers using my app, but I could still look at things on the app. And what I want to do is look at the national championship odds and see what the University of Miami is. They are 50 to 1. Now, based on the history of the Canes program, you would want way more than 50-1. However, based on the outlook of the Canes program, 50-1, pretty good. And you know, the college football playoff is different now. 50-1, pretty good value. Now let me look at the ACC. 4-1 to win the ACC. I'd probably take my chances on 50-1. That sounds a lot juicier. If you're going to play futures, at least when I play future bets, I need really, really, really good odds. Because your money's sitting there for a while, and winning a future bet is not easy at all. Winning any bet is not easy, but a future bet, so many things have to go in your favor. So 50-1 is a pretty good price. Before the baseball season started, I wanted to bury the Marlins under. I think it was 78.5. But how much was I going to put on it? And for all that money to sit there from March until the beginning of October, it just seemed like a long time. Unless you're going to put $100,000 on it, that's a different story. Speaking of the Marlins, maybe you saw them on television last night. We had two local options on TV last night. The Miami, or should I say minor league Marlins, and Inter-Miami CF. Inter-Miami was playing in the League's Cup, looking to go back-to-back, which is not going to happen because they blew a 2-0 lead. The Marlins, though, they looked good in Philadelphia. Every time the Marlins are in Philadelphia, after last year, after I went there for the postseason, for the wild card round, now I'm always like, I should go see the Marlins in Philadelphia again. Because that cheesesteak from Angelo's, I got to get another one. I keep saying it. I said I wanted to go to Yankee Stadium for the Yankees Legends Buffet, and I did. I went with Marlins, man.
Do you know who I am?
Now I got to go back to Philadelphia to get a cheesesteak. Got a lot going on. I mean, once football season starts, it's tough to go to baseball games, especially on the weekend. I would consider going to a baseball game, but it would have to be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday. Or a Saturday if there's really no college games on that I care about. However, it's different nowadays with the Hard Rock Bet app because I certainly care about a lot more games than I used to. That's just the way it works. So I'm here in Medellin. I posted another story on my Instagram a little while ago, just after about 12 p.m. today. It's a beautiful day here in Medellin. The views are just amazing. Girls. Fantastic views here all of the time. Had a great meal last night. I'll have another great meal tonight. I'm going to be here until most likely Monday morning. And then I'll fly back to Miami. I got my poker tournament next Tuesday night. Give you more details on that if you don't know about them already. And then I'll probably come back here until the beginning of football season. I got to be in South Florida for the start of football season. I might even go to the week 2 game Thursday night, the Dolphins and Bills, because why not? Week 1, I got to get my table set up at the Hard Rock. I got to hit them up over there because with all that action week 1, I feel like I got to be there. Normally I would just do it at the house, have some friends over. I've got 3 screens. Being in a sports book, supposed sports book, it's just so different. And this will be the first week 1 that we have it at the Hard Rock because the app and the wagering became legal again last year, but it was like November or December. So we were already at the tail end of the football season. Got to have my anytime TD parlays ready to go. Sometimes, though, watching so many games at once is a little too much. It's overwhelming. Because you got people screaming, and you don't even know what screen they're screaming about. But I feel like I got to be there. Probably wasn't a good idea to start this hour and before starting it, having some of these dry roasted unsalted peanuts, Planters. I'm a big fan of these peanuts, unsalted. But I don't know, when you're talking for an hour or so, putting peanuts in your mouth probably wasn't my best idea. But I've got this big bottle of water. Let me take a swig. You know what? I got to tell you a quick story, because some of you, you may have experienced this. You know the saying, if something sounds too good to be true, then it is. Well, for my house in Miami, I always get these 24 packs of Zephyr Hills. They're 24 packs. They're 16.9 ounces. I get them at Publix. Sometimes they're on sale and you get like 3 for $10, something like that. So I was busy Sunday at the house and I said, let me see. I never use Instacart. I never really use any of these grocery delivery services. But there was an ad on Google for Instacart. It was actually on Instacart, where it said a 28-pack of 20-ounce bottles of Zephyr Hills, and it was $2.19 for a 28-pack of 20-ounce Zephyr Hills bottles. Sounds too good to be true, but it's on Instacart's site. They have a $10 minimum order. So I said, let me get 5 of them. Is this really going to work? Says your shopper's picking up your items. Your shopper's on the way. So this is great. Shopper's about to arrive. So I put on some flip-flops. I'm going to be courteous. This driver is going to have 5 28 packs of bottled water. Let me go out and help them. So I go out to the car. The guy gets out of the car, and I'm going to help him. And he brings me a plastic bag with 5 bottles of water. I said, what the heck is this? I said, look right here at the screen. It says 5 28 packs. He's like, oh no, the store, they said no. It's only 5. You only got 5 bottles, not 5 28 packs. So I had to write to Instacart and they gave me my money back and that was that. So if it's too good to be true, even though it said it right there on the screen, it's just too good to be true. And it wasn't true. It was fake. So I got 5 free bottles of water, but it wasn't worth it because I wasted like 45 minutes out of my day. But I wound up flying to Medellin that night anyway, so everything was good. Okay, I do have things to get to. I want to discuss the Dolphins, even though they don't have a lot going on. But there are a little bit of news and notes, especially from Tua, who spoke yesterday. Maybe I'll get into the Canes, the Marlins. We'll see what else pops up. But I can't do anything until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
This morning I listened to Mike McDaniel talk. Yesterday I listened to Tua talk. Usually I'll break down every single thing Tua says. Some days he can be really rich with the material, maybe create some controversy. Other times, Tua can be, just like Mike McDaniel was this morning, very boring. He breaks it out from time to time, just boring Tua. And since this show is always all about
honesty,
I will tell you straight up, Tuesday Tua was boring Tua. He didn't have much of anything exciting to say. But there was still a little bit of newsworthy stuff that I want to get into. Like, will the starters play this Saturday? It's always a question that's brought up. When are the starters going to play? How many series are you going to see from the quarterback? Now, remember, last year was the first time the preseason games were cut from 4 to 3. A lot of people were trying to figure out what are the coaches going to do? What's going to be the dress rehearsal game? Which game will you rest everybody? Normally, when you had four preseason games, most teams had game three as the dress rehearsal. And game four, we just saw the so-called scrubs. I don't want no scrub. Which nobody wants to see. Nobody wants to pay for to watch. Nobody wants to sit home and see it on television. Now, how are the Miami Dolphins going to do things this time around? Tua talked about the process the Dolphins have when it comes to these preseason games of deciding, are the starters going to play or are we just going to run the backups out there? Tua was saying Mike McDaniel meets with a group. Tua didn't specify who's in the group, how many are in the group, but it's a group of veterans, key guys, respected guys. They meet with Mike McDaniel and they talk about it. How much do we want to play these guys? Should they all do the same? Should some of them sit out and some of them play? And do these guys here, do they even want to play? The bottom line on all of this is simple. Do not get your best players hurt. This Miami Dolphins team can be really good, but only if they're healthy. If they get hammered by the injury bug again, their season could be over before it gets going. Tua said he wants to play. He says there's a certain way that game weeks work. You got to prepare. You got to get ready, go through the routine. He said when he knows he's going to play, he can simulate everything, and it makes week one easier. Now, what do I think is going to happen? I think the starters are going to play on Saturday. Not a whole lot, but I think they're going to play. And preseason game number three, I don't think anyone's going to play. That's the game they'll just rest everybody. And that would be the right thing to do. Take the fewest amount of risks that you possibly can. And the other thing is Saturday is a home game. So let Tua out there sniff the field a little bit. Some of the other starters. I think Saturday is the dress rehearsal. Tua, I'm sure, has spoken to Mike McDaniel about it. And while they haven't publicly said, okay, this is what's going to happen, you still got a joint practice tomorrow, I think that's what we'll see on Saturday. So it might actually be a game worth watching a little bit of. Personally, I wouldn't play anyone who the Dolphins would miss. That's just me. I don't think they're going to sit out all three preseason games, but if I was making that decision, that's what I would do. You have your joint practices. You had two against Atlanta. You got one tomorrow against the Commanders. You got a joint practice in Tampa coming up. Joint practices are good. That's the type of work these players need. One-on-ones with great opponents. And it's in a controlled environment. To me, that's the smarter way to get the veterans ready. I can assure you, if one of the key Dolphins were to get hurt during a preseason game, the staff would kick themselves for letting it happen. There's no reason for it. Just play the rookies, play the undrafted guys. Look for spots 49 to 52, 53. Just look for those fringe guys on the roster. Let spots 1 to 22 have all preseason games off. It's not like you're not practicing at all. Now, the Odell situation, Odell Beckham Jr., I thought Tua was pretty interesting on that. He said that he and OBJ have tossed the ball around so that he could see his release, but in terms of route running, none of that's happened, at least not yet. Mike McDaniel essentially said Beckham is week to week, meaning it could be a matter of time before he's out there running around. I don't think the Dolphins ever really said what's exactly wrong with OBJ, but they signed him. He's a three-time Pro Bowler, and he could be a very valuable piece for this team. In terms of him learning the playbook, I don't think that's going to be an issue. He's a veteran. He knows what he's doing, so I wouldn't be worried about that. The only thing I would be concerned about is that this is a very complex offense with a lot of playmakers. So if Odell isn't on the field, if he's not getting the reps within this complex offense, how is Tua going to work him in there? Because there's a lot of coordination that's got to go on, and you got a huge amount of trust that's got to be established. This isn't other teams where OBJ is just going to be running alongside someone. You got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. You got playmakers. How is he going to supplement and complement them? That might be a challenge because they're not working together right now. So that's not helping matters much. The Dolphins, they got to come out clicking. They got to come out clicking right away. You got to pile up W's right away because going to Kansas City in January is a recipe for a long, cold offseason. The Miami Dolphins only have one way they can change that narrative and rewrite that script. They got to be good, and they got to be good all year long. Rack up those wins and get home field. I know the Dolphins have managed to make the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, and that's not nothing. But those seasons ended with losses at Buffalo and Kansas City. And what do they have in common? Cold weather. And also facing a good quarterback. But the real answer there, while they're both cold weather places and they both got good QBs, they're not Miami. The real answer needs to be the Dolphins need to play a playoff game in Miami. If they're going to end that winless playoff streak, 24 years, and if you listen to anyone around the Dolphins organization, that's the goal. Well, you need to have a home playoff game. And that starts right when the season begins because you got Jacksonville at home and you got Buffalo at home. If the Dolphins start 2-0 with a win in hand against the Bills, that's big. If they start 1-1 or 0-2 with a loss to Buffalo, well, that would mean Buffalo's already won in the Dolphins' house. They got the tiebreaker over Miami, at least at that point. And the only other game they would face them, it would be in Buffalo. So for a team that wants to build, for a team that really needs to get that playoff win, getting those first two wins at home really could impact the entire season. You do not want to start off in an 0-2 hole, of course. You don't even want to start off 1-1. Not when you have that opportunity with the first two games at home and one of them being against the Buffalo Bills. You guys have the opportunity to come play poker with me at the Hard Rock next Tuesday night. Get in the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament. That's my tournament. There's $20,000 minimum up for grabs. It's only $250 to buy in. All the action takes place in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood next Tuesday night. We're less than a week away. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. You can register, though, until 9:30 p.m. next Tuesday night. So you got plenty of time to get on over there to the Hard Rock. If you're getting out of work late next Tuesday, no worries. You could still come on over and get in the tournament. It's always a great time. It's cool meeting a lot of you, chatting with a lot of you, and taking your chips. A minimum of $20,000 will be up for grabs, and it's only $250 to buy in. I hope to see you next Tuesday night in the poker room for the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I cannot believe I'm doing this, but I believe in being fair. I'm a very fair person off the air and on the air. Jake Berger of the Miami Marlins, he's on fire. And I am bringing up the Marlins here in the second segment of the hour because, again, I am fair. I like Jake Berger. He's my bald brother. We look like cousins. Nobody's ever seen us both in the same room. He's a great dude by all accounts. Nice, friendly, good with the media. The reason I can't believe I'm doing this, but again, I am because I'm fair. I don't like lavishing praise on a team that is actively trying not to win. But Jake Berger's got 13 home runs since the All-Star break. He's got 6 in his last 6 games. The dude has more home runs than anyone in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break. 13. Just one of those stats where you got to go back and you have to confirm that it's correct. I had to do that twice. It's hard for the human brain to process that. Jake Berger's got more home runs since the break than Aaron Judge. Another great performance by Jake Berger. Great pitching last night by the Marlins. A guy most people had never even heard of. Still don't even know who he is. Threw seven innings without giving up a run. I could make up four names right now and just throw his name in there, and no one would be able to guess which one is real. He's so anonymous. But random dude was dealing, and the Philadelphia Phillies, they're no joke. So give it up for them.
Miami Marlins!
Yeah, in Philadelphia, where I should have been, but I'm here in Medellin. I could do Medellin with the views. Girls. Or Philly with the cheesesteak from Angelo's. I wouldn't mind both. How about a cheesesteak while at the same time having a great view? Girls. That could be interesting. I know what is interesting. The racing at Gulfstream Park during the Royal Palm meet. Play some wagers, have a great meal. You're going to have a fantastic time at Gulfstream Park. Right now, they've got live racing at Gulfstream Park every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is the Royal Palm Meet. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms. Get myself a great table, fantastic meal, whether it's off of the buffet during the weekend or you can order off of the menu anytime you want. You could bet on the races. 10 or 20 cents could possibly make you thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. The AC in the trackside restaurant, 10 Palms, it is kicking. It works great. If you want to hang out outside, you can do that too. The Carousel Club, that's a great option. Live racing every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's the Royal Palm Meet, and it's going on right now in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. How about Inter Miami CF? They had it. They were up 2-0. They're trying to win the League's Cup again. That's not the championship for MLS, just a different tournament. They're up 2-0 going to the second half, and then they allow three goals, and they lost.
You blew it!
Yes, they did. They lost 3-2 to the Columbus Crew, and Inter Miami's dreams of repeating not happening. One big difference between last year's team and this year's team, this is just a very keen observation by me. This is why you tune into the program, because I get the big-time observations. This year, Lionel Messi's not on the field or the pitch. Last year, Messi was playing in the League's Cup. My guess is, without the GOAT being available, their chances aren't as good. But now, Inter Miami gets a small break, and maybe during this break, Messi can get all the treatment and all the attention medically that he requires so that he'll be back on the field very soon. And then tickets will be selling again, not being given out free to season ticket holders. Here's some extras. Who wants them? Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. We got a lot going on, lots of chases. He's going to join us next. Here on this Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us on the Andy Slater Show, as he is every Wednesday. Lieutenant, I see the Florida Highway Patrol in the news. This morning I woke up and I saw a story about something that happened last night in the Sweetwater area having to do with a chase. Can you fill me in? Fill in the audience, please.
Absolutely. This was, like you said, this was last night about right around 8 o'clock. We got a request and a be on the lookout from Miami-Dade Police. Just telling us about a stolen vehicle in the area of one of our, on State Road 836, one of the areas that we're responsible for. So sure enough, one of our troopers on patrol observed the vehicle, traveling on Flagler Street. He, attempts a traffic stop on the vehicle. Of course the Acura, you know, doesn't stop for him. It tries to flee from him. There's a short pursuit that's ensued. During that pursuit, the Acura crashes into a another vehicle that stopped on 92nd Avenue, then comes back westbound. Trooper attempts to conduct a pit maneuver unsuccessful. And as that was happening, the fleeing vehicle makes a hard right turn. And the trooper was kind of committed to conducting that pit maneuver and kind of was unable to make that turn, loses control of his vehicle, and kind of crashes into a fence line. Luckily for the trooper, he did not sustain any injuries. And there was a short perimeter that was established, Andy. The bad guy in this case did get away. We weren't able to apprehend the bad guy. The only good news out of it, again, is that the trooper did not sustain any injuries, and the stolen vehicle was recovered, was taken to our headquarters, and will now be returned to its owner, you know, the victim of that crime.
When you say the trooper couldn't, do the pit maneuver, he was already committed, and then the driver turned.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, the trooper crashes there is because when you're doing the pit maneuver, Camacho, you have to speed up at the last second?
Yeah, well, he was already trying to overtake that car, so he's already traveling at a, you know, kind of a high rate of speed to get close enough to that car to try to, you know, precisely position his vehicle in a way where he's getting ready to do the pit maneuver. Maybe the other driver realized this was going to happen and made a sharp right turn that the trooper might have not been expecting. And so it might have just caught him off guard. And instead of being able to make that right turn with him, he continued to travel straight. And there was a fence line there for a building. And so, it's a combination of a lot of things, Andy. I think the speed, you know, being kind of focused on positioning of the vehicle and then not expecting that turn. And these are some of the things that happen the bad guys that are trying to get away from us, they don't really play by the rules. They're not stopping at red lights. You know, they're not really caring if they make a turn at, you know, whatever speed. They're just trying to get away. And so those are, you know, some of the things that as law enforcement we have to take into consideration. And it's one of the big dangers of it.
Now, when you talk about the driver, the suspect there getting away, I mean, you guys have the car, the supposed mm-hmm. stolen vehicle.
Right.
So how... I mean, how do you go about now finding the driver who left?
Well, there will be some leads that will be worked on. And it's not just FHP. This was originally a Miami-Dade case. So there will be some further investigation that goes into who was driving the car at the time of the pursuit. And hopefully it does lead to the arrest. It's not guaranteed, but there are different ways that they're going to follow up on this. But I guess the positive part of it is, Andy, at least this car is going to be returned to the owner, not crashed, you know, not damaged.
I wouldn't want it. I mean, somebody seriously, though, if somebody's this is like another topic, but if somebody steals your car and they're involved in a chase in that car, like, do you really want that car back? You just feels weird.
Yeah, I guess. I guess they can maybe sell it. But, you know, I guess it's no matter what, it's stolen property that was recovered by police. And so that's no matter what, it's a positive, outlook on what could have been much worse. You know, we could have had a crashed car. We could have had an injured trooper. We could have had, you know, it could have been so much worse, you know.
Lieutenant, there was another chase. I think this might have been near Miami Beach, and it involved an overturned car in the end. What are the details?
This was on Sunday, yes, in the area of Miami Beach on the 195 Causeway in the area of Alton Road. Same, very similar. Troopers, we were notified of another stolen vehicle. It was a Toyota SUV, I believe. When the troopers located that vehicle, again, vehicle failed to stop. This one was much shorter. The trooper was able to conduct the pit immediately, right as the vehicle was entering the causeway from, kind of like leaving the Miami Beach area. The trooper was able to conduct that pit vehicle. The fleeing vehicle kind of overturned, coming to rest like on its roof. Hmm. And the driver there was apprehended without further incident. So that one was kind of, a better ending where really nobody got hurt. Bad guy was apprehended. And luckily that's how that one ended.
Do you guys have to get a directive now to do a pit or a chase, or is it up to the trooper? Because I asked that question, Lieutenant, because we see a lot more chases happening, not only with you guys, but all over South Florida. So correct. Can you just do, you know, start a chase on your own, pit on your own?
Well, you don't. I mean, the trooper doesn't start a chase. I mean, the trooper witnesses an infraction, witnesses a crime, and attempts to stop that person. The person that kind of, if the person flees, now the decision is made on the trooper. Do I pursue? Do I not? So that's obviously communicated on our radio. The supervisors that we have working are listening to that. They ask for certain, they ask certain questions. What are the traffic conditions? What's the weather? What's the speed? You know, things like that. And then they will ultimately give you a yes or a no, depending on what information is received. So, and again, that's just some of the stuff. The trooper also has to make a decision as to whether they want to pursue or not as well. But to answer your question, why I think we're seeing these more frequently is because we recently have, over the last year and a half now, we've had our executive leadership in Tallahassee that has kind of a different outlook and has made some revisions to our pursuit policies and our emergency responses to certain situations. And they would like to see more of these crimes and these vehicles being stopped with the pit maneuver or even with intentional contact. That's why we've seen now more of these wrong way drivers going. The troopers are kind of going head on with them. That's what we call intentional contact, because we're trying to stop these cars from before they hurt somebody else. So I think that's why you're seeing more of it.
Lieutenant, you said, though, I found it interesting. I don't know if you meant it this way or not, but you said it's also up to the trooper if they want to have the pursuit. So are you saying that a trooper maybe doesn't want to pursue the car and another trooper has to come in and do it?
No, what I'm saying is if the trooper feels they were able to identify who was behind the wheel, they got a good look at that driver, the trooper got a good look at that license plate and was able to relay that information, the trooper might just say to themselves, all right, you know what? Traffic's a little heavy right now. I don't want to risk this, you know, car crashing into somebody. I have enough information to follow up and to use my resources to apprehend this person another way, right?
I just didn't know if it was like maybe a trooper's afraid of chasing someone or not. Obligated to chase.
No, they're all trained and they all have to show proficiency, right, in the pit maneuver and in driving and all the emergency response stuff that we do. I just say sometimes if you have information and it might be better to use the resources that you have to try to stop this person rather than, you know, potentially chasing and you know, risking a crash or something like that.
Of course. But I mean, that doesn't look good on television. You know, what are you going to do? Come on the television, Lieutenant? Yeah, well, we got the license plate number, so we found him at his house. Yeah, we'll get him later. Yeah. It's really exciting for us to watch on TV. It's crazy how chases work, though. I mean, you probably feel the same way, maybe even before your time with the Florida Highway Patrol or in law enforcement. It's because you never want something bad to happen. But, like, why are we watching it on television? Like, you're waiting for something bad to happen. Don't you kind of get that feeling?
I understand. It's basically, I think, it's almost the closest as you can get to, like, a movie in, like, real life. You're watching a high-speed chase happening there, and, you know, the chopper's on top, and it's live. You know, there might be maybe a five-second delay where maybe if something really bad happens, they can cut it. But, yeah, for the most part, everybody's tuned in because they're wanting to see how it ends.
Yeah. And of course you just don't want anyone innocent, you know, to get hurt in anything like that. One more thing for you, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Back to school, all over South Florida, all over the state and the country. I saw something, it was terrible, happened in Sarasota where a mother was dropping off a 12-year-old girl and she wound up getting hit by the car because she leaned over to get school supplies that dropped. Do you have any safety tips, something that somebody may not know as now they're dropping kids off at school or even being around school areas?
You know, the biggest thing is, again, these are reminders. School zones, active school zones have been designated as hands-free zones. No cell phone, no device in your hand while in an active school zone. Put those distractions down, right? Be alert. Watch for these children and only drive or park in authorized areas to drop off or pick up your children at school. Another thing, last year, legislature passed some House bills authorizing local jurisdictions to implement and operate school zone speed detection systems, Andy, and school bus passing infraction detection systems. So that means if your vehicle, not in all, but in a lot of local jurisdictions, if you are passing a school zone speeding, and if you do not stop for a school bus, you will now receive a citation in the mail. No questions will be asked about that. And that's just new. This was just passed last year, and it's going into effect for this school year in a lot of local jurisdiction areas. Also, passing a school bus, it's not just a violation. It's a direct threat to the safety for the children. So when you see those stop signs open up on the school bus, make sure you're stopping. And really, just parents, I mean, they're encouraged to review all of this with their kids and make sure that they're safe around school buses, school zones. I mean, everybody has to do their part here for the kids.
I feel like there's road rage that happens in school zones because, I mean, I haven't gotten into it, but there's times where I see, okay, I'm going 15 or 14, and you got somebody behind you that's like clueless and they want to go 25, and it's like you raise your hand a little bit. So what are you supposed to do in those situations? Just let them tailgate you?
Yeah. I mean, what else can you do, right? Or just move out of their way if you can. I mean, try not to find yourself in a road rage type of situation, but it's important that everybody obeys by that. Again, primarily for the safety of everybody, but even more so now knowing that so many of these school zones will have that speed detection technology, and the actual school buses will have that passing detection where if you don't stop, it's essentially license plate readers and radar systems that are capturing your speed and capturing your license plate, just like red light cameras. I mean, it's all been authorized. So just knowing that you should be doing the right thing for the safety of the children, but now there doesn't necessarily need to be a police officer there for you to be stopped for the violation. You can just expect a ticket or a citation in the mail moving forward.
Well, if that doesn't work, Lieutenant, maybe we can make the gates on the buses about 30 feet long and just extend them out each way. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol, I appreciate the time. Stay safe out there, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Andy. See ya.
Something always going on in South Florida. Now back to school. Yeah, traffic, more of that. But there's just so many people out there that don't obey the rules, especially in school zones. Come on. I know you guys in this audience, though, you all obey the rules most of the time. Speaking of time, that's all the time I got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.